Okay, y'all got your Bibles or your phones or something? Turn to Psalm 19, verse 7. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all your promises, which are what, guys? Yes and amen. Lord, that you would move today, we thank you for revival fire to continue to fall. Lord, don't let this be dry and dusty. Don't let this be just some teaching, God, that we would fill up on your manna and the river of God would flow through us mightily and out into the world, God, in Jesus' name. Now, I know y'all aren't going to want to hear this, but some of you will. I want this to be a scripture memory verse this week. And let me tell you the way I memorize scripture. I write it down on a note card. And I'll stick it wherever I spend my most time. If it's in the car, I'll stick it on the dash of the car. If it's ladies, if it's or men, if it's in your kitchen or something, or your refrigerator. Probably a lot of you spend a lot of time in a refrigerator. Just put it there, and what I'll do is I will say the first 4 or 5, 6 words until I get that down, then I'll just keep adding to it and adding to it. Believe me, y'all are a lot smarter than I am. I know that you can memorize the Word of God, and you go, what for? And I thought this morning, when you go to battle, let's go back in medieval times. When you went to battle, you had a sword probably, but for any distance of fighting, what would you probably use? Right? If you went into battle, would you be a fool if you had one arrow? You'd be pretty much damaged. There'd be something wrong with you if you was getting right. If I was going into battle with a bow, I would want that quiver completely packed full of arrows. You know, we can put it to modern times. If I was in Vietnam or I was in Desert Storm or something, I would want magazines and magazines and magazines and magazines full of ammunition. And I know in Vietnam they used to tape the two. They would tape two of them together. They would tape two magazines together and they pull one out, flip it over, and stick the other one in there. So when you're going into battle, you don't want to run out of ammunition, right? So how many scriptures are in your quiver? Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And what's the only thing that can defeat Satan? The blood of Jesus for sure. But what's the one thing Jesus used to defeat Satan? The what? The Word of God. And did it work? So you've dealt with Satan one time. Not Satan. None of you. I'd say nobody in this room's dealt with Satan. No, I don't think any of us are high enough on the food chain for Satan to be fooling with. But there's demons, and they're good at what they do, and they're good at putting doubt, and they're good at putting fear, and they're good at putting depression on people, aren't they? Because they've been doing it a long time. And Donna, they've been watching you all your life. She got some freedom. She got rid of some devils, didn't you? Hey, there's nothing to be ashamed of there. I think it's awesome. A lot of people got rid of some devils. Some of them went home with them. But God's doing a great thing. But you can get free, and you remember when Jesus, after the third time, it said the devil left him, and he waited for a more opportune time. And I don't think it was recorded again until the Garden of Gethsemane. He may have been tempted again. I'm sure he was, but that's the next recorded time. But guess what? You're not Jesus. And if you've been in a battle before and you've got victory over it, guess what? He's going to come back to you at an opportune time, and he will come to you at your very, very weakest moments. Won't he? Because he don't play fair. He hates you. He wants to see you destroyed. He wants to see you become ineffective as a Christian. Right? So if I was you, I would fill up that quiver. I would make it a project to fill up that quiver, but I want to give you the first one to start off. And I've found it's easier to memorize three or four lines than it is just a complete thought instead of just pulling a little bitty. Starting at verse 7, Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Hey, that's good news. Simple-minded people like me can be wise. Praise God because of the law of the Lord, right? The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Rejoicing the heart. Come on, smile for me, guys. Rejoice the heart, praise the Lord. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Wow, they give you sight. They give you spiritual sight. Isn't that awesome? The fear of the Lord. Ooh, the fear of the Lord is what? Clean, enduring forever, and the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Could y'all memorize that in a week? You're laughing. You're laughing. Could you try to memorize that in a week? I believe if you pray and ask the Lord to help you to do that, because, and I'm not going to go, this isn't Mark wants to shame you and make you look bad. It's really not. I'm just telling you this so you can be equipped. How many arrows are in those scriptures right there? I don't know. Several. Several sharp arrows. So I know you can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. So that's good news, isn't it? I'm going to read you 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, too, to kind of apply that to your life. David was greatly distressed. What's that mean? Upset? What's distressed? Means you got stress, right? You've got stress on you. Distressed means what, Mary? You've been distressed. You've been delivering babies all weekend. What's distressed? Anxious? Upset? Worn out? David was greatly distressed. Why? Because there was Saul and his crazy maniac and demon-possessed people were chasing him around trying to kill him all the time. He had a reason to be distressed. Did y'all have anybody chase you last night, try to break in your house and kill you because you're a Christian? I don't think so, probably. It may happen someday, but David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And by the way, it was his army that was getting ready to kill him because their families and all their goods got kidnapped. Well, anyway, we won't go into that, but it says there that David strengthened, or I think in King James it said he encouraged himself in the Lord. So we need to learn how to encourage ourselves, because there's not always going to be somebody around us to help encourage us, you know? Is that true? So encourage yourself in the Lord, and the best way to do it is to know the Word of God, to sing praises to the Lord. Lord Jesus, y'all stand up a second. We're going to put on the full armor of God. Is that okay? Y'all should definitely know this one. Lord Jesus, we place the full armor of God on us, Lord, so that we can fight the battles. that we could be equipped and clothed in your righteousness, God. And we do this by faith. Just let this be an act of faith right now. Just, Lord God, I put on the helmet of salvation, just by faith, just like you're putting a helmet on. We put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of your righteousness, Lord, that you would gird us about in the belt of truth. God, we put on the shoes the battle boots of the Lord, the shoes of the gospel of what? Peace. We pick up with your left hand, unless you're left-handed, pick up the shield of faith. Hold it up high, too, because they had big shields, big shields. We thank you for the shield of faith, Lord. Increase our faith, Lord. And we pick up with our right hand the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God, that sharp two-edged sword that takes off the head of the enemy every time. The sword of the Lord, which is what? The word of God. So, Lord, thank you. Thank him for giving you weapons. Thank you, the weapons of my warfare aren't carnal. Thank you, God, I don't have to carry an M16 around all day to stand up against the enemy. You have blessed me, and you bless my family, and God, I am a warrior, and I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. See, y'all know some word. Y'all got some arrows in there. I bet you got a lot of arrows, but we need more. We need fresh ones. So, praise the Lord. Y'all can be seated. I'm going to be really, really quick, maybe. I'll be quicker than Joanna was. But I probably won't be as zealous. Well, you know, we're different people. Praise the Lord. So I was thinking today about, really earlier in the week I got some of this, but I was thinking about the race, that we're in a race, and you're in a race whether you want to be or not. You know, I mean, when you join the army of God, when you give your life to Jesus, you've signed up for the battle, you've signed up for the race, and you can finish the race in style, or you can drop dead at the finish or at the start gate. And that's what happens. Sometimes people start the race. It's too hard. I can't make it. It was easier. And they start convincing themselves that things were really easier before Jesus. It's true. Things were not easier before Jesus. I want you to be praying, all of you praying for our intercessors. Not only in this church, but up and down this corridor, because they have been attacked so severely. And I think Joanna even sensed that and brought it out too. But they have been attacked. We had intercessors, I know at Pastor James's church, I know four of them lost their husband within year and a half. And two of very powerful intercessors, they've pretty much been talked out of the race. And I love them, and I'm not speaking ill of them. No, not at all. I want to see them get back in the race. But let me tell you how they got taken out of the race. They were probably, I wouldn't say elderly, they were probably a little older than us, and we're not elderly. You said we were elderly the other day. Anyway, I'm not, you know, old gray marriage just ain't what he used to be. mare. No, I wouldn't be a mare. I'd be a stallion. Not a pony. Not a pony. I know three of these ladies. The first one dropped out, but the other two, it shocked me. But what happened to the one is she had caring daughters that loved her very much. And so I was talking to her at the funeral home and prayed with her, and she was as upbeat as you can be when you've just lost your mate. I mean, that's a hard thing to go through. But her well-meaning daughters, they convinced her, you need to go to grief counseling. And I'm not against that, but you need to go to grief counseling. You need to go to grief counseling. You need to go to grief counseling. Kept on and on and on and on. And then they said, you need to move in with us. You need to move closer to us in Jeffersonville. You need to move. You know, you don't need to be out driving anymore. And they'd been driving for years and years by themselves at night. And pretty soon, they were talked out of their destiny. Now, I'm believing God's going to bring them back. But you know what? Don't let the world talk you out of what you know you can do. If you are a warrior, you are a warrior. If you are a runner, you are a runner. Don't let somebody talk you out of what you are. I'm not against help stuff, please don't. But you know what? God is able to deliver us, isn't he? So I'm praying. You be praying, because I'm believing they're coming back quickly, quickly. And Lord, Janet, you know, you've had some attacks. You just please pray for the intercessors. And we're all intercessors, but some, you know, when I saw, I think you had was it a video or a vision or something, Glenna, about a round table? She took this watchtower thing real diligently about praying about putting a watchtower up on top of this church. And you saw a picture of a bunch of intercessors around a table with a map on it, and they were mapping out. I'm believing God is going to start giving intercessors. They're going to be able to map out and accurately, we'll be able to accurately hear from God what he wants us to do. Like in the community, like in the corridor, like what the prayer focuses are supposed to be. So please, please intercede for the intercessors. We pray protection over, let's pray right now. We pray protection over the intercessors, Lord. We pray protection for those that are on the watchtower right now, Jesus God. The weary ones, that you give them strength, God. We thank you, Lord, you give them manna, God. You give them that living water, God, that never runs dry, God. We pray for our intercessors. We love our intercessors. We thank you, intercessors. We thank you for getting up in the midnight hour when God maybe called us or woke us up and we rolled back over and went to sleep. But the intercessors got up and they did God's will. We thank you for sending the warriors. We thank you for the intercessors. And God, we pray you would send more laborers into the harvest, God. We need intercessors. Steve Hill was at was the Argentine revival. It was a huge move of God in Argentina. And signs, wonders, salvation, and I wish I could say it in Spanish. It sounds so cool. But in Dario Cristo, in the name of Jesus, Satan, go. And he'd be up on his platform with thousands of people. And there was so much power that people a half a mile away would be falling down and wallowing and vomiting in the street because demons were coming out of them. Now, that's the power of God that we want to see manifested in America, don't we? Because If we did that right here, there'd be people all over Greenville throwing up and vomiting and getting free of demons, wouldn't they? I want them to go all the way up and down the Highway 150 corridor. And that might sound funny to you, but God can do that. And Steve Hill, he walked up to this guy, and they got a platform about this tall. I think it was about 7 feet tall. It's got curtains all the way around it. And it's huge. I bet the platform was probably 4 times bigger than this. I've seen pictures of it. And Steve said, "What is the secret of the power of God and deliverance and people getting healed and free? What is the secret?" And Carlos pulled back the curtain, and there was 100 intercessors in there praying in tongues and going after God. He said, "That's the power right there. It's not me. I'm just advocating what God has given." So we need intercessors, you know. And there's going to be a time when there's going to be a room in here where there's intercessors interceding during these services that God, these special services that God's going to be having. And you know what? They're going to enjoy it. They're not going to go, "Oh, God, I got to intercede while everybody else gets a soaking room." No, it won't be like that at all. They'll be going, "Yeah, we know what we're doing. We're moving all of hell to make room for heaven." Isn't that exciting? I'm praying for you. I'm praying for y'all. I'm praying for every one of y'all. It's time. It is time. I got a fresh anointing, and I'm not going to let it go. You know what? I am not going to get brought down by the world. I'm not going to get brought down by depression. I'm not going to get brought down because things aren't happening quick as Mark thinks they should happen. I will not be brought down. And you know what? You've got to fix your heart that I will not be brought down, or it'll just be another fresh touch, Lord. You're in the floor laughing for a few minutes, and then three or four days later, you're like, "Oh, God, things are so hard." And believe me, I know things are hard. Some of y'all are really tired this morning, aren't you? I'm not at all, but that don't mean yesterday I was. But you know, when the meeting goes on to 11 or 12 o'clock, then you go home and feed them, and you eat food late at night till 2 or 3 in the morning, and then you got to get up at 6 or 7 in the morning. Yeah, kind of, you know, get used to it. It's revival. Revival, look at all the empty chairs. Revival, he's going to do it in small places. And she nailed it last night. If you weren't here, she nailed it. She don't know what we do here. She said, "Pastor Mark, you've been praying. And every week," she said this, "every week you talk about revival, you talk about a move of God, and people are going, 'Huh, that ain't going to happen. We've been hearing this for years. It ain't going to happen.'" She said, "It will happen. It's getting ready to happen soon." Now, that weren't my words. That was the Holy Spirit's words. So you better get used to me saying that, because until it happens, we're going to talk about revival. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Okay. We need a finish line anointing. I want y'all to be still for a minute and just pay attention to me. Okay? It's rude to not pay attention to somebody who's talking. Acts 20, "See, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Paul had been prophesied, and you know, how many of y'all got some words of prophecy over you? Did anybody receive any prophetic words? that anybody have prophesied over them, you're going to be bound in chain and tortured and probably die in the next little bit. Did anybody have that? Paul did. He said, praise God. If that's what God wants from me, praise God. Could we do that? Praise God. It's joy. Man, when you don't care about your life no more, that's got to be such a joy. Y'all aren't getting this, are you? How much of a joy would it be as, you can't take nothing from me. You could take my life. It don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to glory. And people look at you like you're an idiot. This life is all you've got. No. This life is just a flash, man. And God wants to give you the joy of knowing where you're going. The joy of knowing if you're not saved, you better weep. You better grab all you can. You better run from the enemy because after that, it's judgment and hell. But boy, if you know Jesus, it's like, welcome home. Welcome home, good and faithful servant. I'll never get finished with this. That's okay. Finish line anointing. You need to know that it don't matter. It just don't matter what the world can do to you. Lou Ann, it just don't matter. It really don't. And I know, raise your hands and pray for Lou Ann right now. I know, put your hands towards her. She's going through a lot of stress right now. Her work, God, in Jesus' name, I pray that you give her supernatural grace, that you give her supernatural wisdom to know how to minister to people and to know when to let go and to know when she's carrying things you never meant for her to carry. We break that off your shoulders right now in the name of Jesus. Let the joy of the Lord consume my sister and let her know if it don't get done, it's okay. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to love my family. I'm going to have time. And if that's not good enough, find yourself somebody else. But in Jesus' name, you stand for what God has showed you to stand for. And that was not a rebuke, young lady. I love you. She's got such a sweet spirit, and she's got so much in her that God wants to use you for other things besides River City, Colleen. What's the name of it? Metro. It's the ones that watch our alarms faithfully. Faithfully. Praise the Lord for them. They warn you when their devourer's coming, don't they? And sometimes they just go off for no apparent reason in the middle of the night. And I don't like that. So, finish line anointing. And I know I've probably used this before, so don't get bored with me, but anybody football fans at all? Mike, Donna? Buster, anybody else? Anybody basketball fans? Yeah. You ever notice something? They don't really seem like they start playing seriously till about, 5 minutes to go, but for sure 2 minutes to go. If they played like that the whole game, they'd be up by 150 points. No, really. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. They just put their passion. And I go, I was thinking this morning, how do they do that? How do you will yourself to have more passion at the end of something when you are literally worn out? How can you put more passion into that than you did at the beginning? And the Lord showed me the pace doesn't slow down because of weariness, but it picks up because of the prize. You're playing for a prize. And you know, you look up at the game clock and there's 2 minutes to go, and you go, wow, I can endure this for 2 minutes. I can put everything I've got into this thing for 2 minutes. Guess what? When you see all these things beginning to happen, what things? Earthquakes, tsunamis, floods, what's that? volcanoes, signs of nature. You see people wanting to marry men, and women wanting to marry women. You see society degrading. When you see all these, it said it'll be like the days of Noah, right? It said it'll also be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. So we've got a two-minute warning. Maybe less than that. I believe Jesus is coming back very, very soon. And some of y'all will go, well, they've been saying that forever. And there's a scripture that points to you. It says they'll say, where's the promise of his coming? Since the earth was flooded by water. I've been hearing Jesus is coming back. Where's the promise of his coming? And then sudden destruction. Sudden destruction comes. And I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. But even if I'm wrong, you know what? It don't matter. I'm not going to bow to the mark of the beast. Listen, and you ever talk to a heathen?
You know what? I know all about the 666, and I won't take that mark. I'll get right with God during the tribulation. Yeah, right. You can't even bow to Jesus when it's easy. Right? Well, I'll shut up.
Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, the prize which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who loved his appearing. So what's God got for you? I'm skipping about half of this. And this is for y'all that don't believe who you are, that you haven't yet accepted who you are in Jesus. I don't feel anointed. I don't feel like I can do anything for God. I just don't feel anointed to do anything. It's not about feelings, friends. You are anointed. If you belong to Jesus, you are anointed. Okay. How many of y'all got to come out to at least one meeting? And this is just, I want to know how many of y'all got prayer from Randy or Joanna? Praise the Lord. I've even got my phone programmed for the rapture. Yes, ma'am. What I like to do is, Donna, come down here and come in agreement with me. I like to pray for everybody. I like to lay hands on you and pray for you. It's not going to be a long, drawn-out thing unless God decides that's what it's going to be, but I don't foresee that. At the wedding yesterday, I ask if you got a token of your love towards the symbol of your commitment, and of course I knew the answer. They said a ring. So with the ring, how many of y'all? I got a wedding ring. Donna's got a wedding ring. I wear it. I keep it on. Don't worry about equipment pulling my finger off. I never listened to that. I never got pulled off. But I believe it's a token of my love and commitment. It's my covenant commitment to Donna. I love Donna. But even if we're having a bad day, you know what? I don't take my ring off and throw it down and go, you don't deserve it. No, no, that's not love. That's abuse. But what I want to do is something as a, you've heard Pastor Mark way more than you want to hear him say, talk about the Brownsville Revival. You've heard me talk way more than you probably want me to about that. How many of y'all actually went there? Hold your hand up if you went there. And Joanna was even mentioning it. Listen. It's getting close, man. That's two times in a minute. What I want to do is I want to lay hands on you, and I want to believe the anointing that we receive from Joanna. It's just transferable. I believe it's transferable just as much as, you know, if somebody's got the chicken pox and they come up and give you a hug, and you're going to get the chicken pox probably if you haven't had them, you know. It's contagious. The anointing is contagious, but it only comes on those that want it. Most people don't want chicken pox. It just trespasses and comes right in there. But if you need a fresh touch from God and you need a fresh fire, I don't want to just pray what Joanna imparted. I want to pray that what Brownsville imparted on us. And not only am I going to lay my hands on you, I'm going to lay this piece of carpet on your head. Listen. This carpet, listen, now I'm not being funny. This carpet came from the altar. It came from the altar of Brownsville Assembly of God. It's the carpet that was on there that probably has tears on it. But I'm sure it's safe now. Don't worry about it. I've had it a long time. But somebody, a student at a fire school, got in there when they were taking the carpet up and replaced. Boy, wasn't that beautiful mauve. How could God move in carpet that color? But look, he's no. But the thing about it is I believe even at that, you know when, help me, Jesus, was it Elijah? Was it Elijah died and they buried him? And one day somebody, a soldier was fighting or something and fell in his graves and fell on his bones. What happened? The resurrection power of God was still in those bones and he popped up. So why wouldn't it? I just felt like doing this by faith, even though some people would think I'm weird. But if you want the touch of God in your life, if you want the spirit of revival in your life, if you want souls more than your breath, or you want God to put that in you, come up here. I want to pray for you, and we'll just believe that God's going to do what God's going to do, and God's going to transform us, and then he'll transform the church, and then he'll transform this region. You got to get that dullness out, man. You just got to get that dullness out, that mundane life. This is life. This is what I do every day. You just got to put it behind you, man, because the enemy will destroy you with the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and you'll turn around in 10 years, or you'll be an old person and go, God, I didn't do nothing for you. He goes, yeah, I know. I'm going to let you in heaven anyway, but you really didn't because you listened to the enemy. So don't be talked out of what God wants to do with you. Have you got, I got some music I want to play.
Anything to say? Go ahead, add something. You good?
You know, we have people coming in here every week to the food pantry because they're hungry for food. And how much more we need to have that hunger in us for more of God. We can come, we don't have to wait and come once a month to the food pantry. We can come anytime. And God says he's willing. He's not only willing, he is honored by our hunger. And when I don't have hunger sometimes, I ask him to give me more hunger. God, give me more passion for the things of God. Give me more passion to see lost people in a lost condition rather than just thinking maybe they'll get it figured out someday. God, I just pray, Lord God, give us hunger and passion, Lord, for the things of the Holy Spirit, for the things of God, for the souls, God, that are entering into eternity every day and going to a literal hell, God. Lord, I don't want to see hell, God, but if that's what it takes to give us a understanding that we don't want anyone to go to hell and get that burning within us, Lord, for souls to lay down ourselves on the altar of God and see God move to save the lost, to use us to do it, God. We are your hands, we are your feet, God. Give us that that wisdom, that boldness, Lord, to do what we need to do, Lord, to have words of God in our hearts and in our mouths, Lord, to share with the lost and dying world.
Jesus, praise you, Jesus. Just receive.